I'd like to welcome everybody to the Mesa City Council Study Session for Thursday, May 14th, 2009. We'll begin the meeting by reviewing items from the agenda for next Monday's council meeting. Page 1? Nothing this week? Okay. Page 2? Page 3? Councilmember Fenter.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get to it. I was flipping pages. Page 4, I do have something.
Page 5?
No.
Page 4?
That's a good one.
Councilmember Fenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to get some more information from staff. It doesn't have to be right now on 6F. I'd like to do a little more research on that. So I just didn't have a chance before today to do that. So thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Anything else on page 4? Page 5, Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I just wondered the low interest loan at approximately 2%, is there a trade-off for us of, you know, I don't know what our normal loans are at, but high interest loan. But because there's different things that are involved with that 2% loan, is there a crossover point, you know what I'm saying, where it's not a good deal to take that? Or is it a good, I mean, to me it looks like a good deal, but I know it comes with lots of strings, so I just wondered.
Well, part of the strings are what we will further look at. But from an interest standpoint, that's about half of what we borrowed at last week. So from an interest standpoint, it's outstanding. So we'll be further evaluating all those issues on the other parts of the strings.
And then it's only up to, we can only borrow a certain amount at that percent, though. Or could we do the whole thing at that?
Councilmember Higgins, that's correct. It's part of the ARRA stimulus funds. Mm-hmm. And we were awarded a certain amount for this project, $1.43 million.
Okay.
So the 2% is capped at that amount.
For me and council, so in a way, Catherine, this was a competitive process to get a project to be eligible for this 2% loan.
Yes, that's correct.
So,
great. Okay, thank you.
Mayor.
Councilmember Richens.
One more item on page 4. Could you tell me, hey, Catherine, before you go, can you tell me what an inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectrometer is? I hear it's quite large.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's Councilmember Richens. It's it actually tests metals.
It's
for
an, lovely.
It's lovely.
For a water girl, it is.
Yes. It tests metals for our industrial pretreatment program for our major industrial customers for on the wastewater side. We test their water, see what's going on in there. It tests metals for us. We've had one in the past, but it was leased. We're looking to purchase this time around. The bids came in very low, which is nice for us, and we think that we can save about $30,000 a year purchasing and doing some of the work in-house.
Thank you. I just had to know.
Yeah.
I think it's a good public policy to purchase our inductively coupled spectrometers instead of leasing them. Thank you, Councilmember Richens. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor had a... Oh, you know... Nope, sorry. I'm good. I had a mistake. I had a note on this page that actually references another page. Forgive me.
Have we already gone over that other page?
No, I think it's...
We're coming to that page.
We're going to be good.
Okay. Page... Well, we can't because page 9 is the last page.
No, it's actually on this agenda. I'm sorry. Oh. But the note was there for some reason.
I'm so confused now.
Me too.
Okay. All right. Back to the pink agenda, the regular one. Item number 2 here, presentation on the Keno Pool grand opening activities and citywide summer swim programs. Mr. Evans.
Good morning. Oops.
You know, before you get going, I apologize. Vice Mayor reminded me I forgot to excuse Councilmember Kavanaugh, who's out of town and obviously is not calling in, so I'd like to excuse him.
Good morning, Mayor, Council members. As you know, I'm Red Evans, the Parks and Recreation Director, and I have here with me this morning Mike Holste, who is the Assistant Parks Director over programs. And so we will be having him speak to you a little bit about our aquatics programs. And in particular, we want to bring you up to speed with our construction progress, how that's going, as well as talk a little bit about our operations and maintenance coming up as we begin our summer season, as well as our summer programs and how those are coming about. But before we start, I would like to remind everyone that and bring you up to speed on how we're making progress on our regional pool concept. This was adopted by our by council as well as our parks board to move towards more of a regional concept, which would have fewer pools in our inventory, but the pools that we would maintain would be larger amenity pools. And currently we have completed, as you know, Carson, Keno we'll be talking about today, which will be opening shortly, and Rhodes is under construction with Skyline coming into the design phase. So we are making some progress, quite a bit of progress, as we move towards this plan. And again, just as a way of a reminder, all of these pools are being constructed with the quality of life sales tax that was passed some time ago as we moved away from the indoor aquatics facility and decided to have more regional pools scattered throughout the city or strategically positioned throughout the city. So with that, we'd like to bring you up to speed with the various amenities and different things that will be involved in these regional pools, starting with Keno. And Mike Holste will walk you through these amenities.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. We're very excited with the new pools that we're going to be bringing online, as well as all the other pools that we currently have. As Rhett said, we're going to have 7 pools operating this summer, which is down 3 pools from last summer. The Keno pool is a remodel of our competition 50-meter pool that we had, and it has been upgraded. It currently is going to have 8 50-meter lanes. It's also equipped to have 26 25-yard lanes. It is home to Mountain View High School. It is going to be for year-round competitions, and it's going to be set up. It's actually large enough to host regional and national tournaments. So far, we've already had the AIA 3A state finals are scheduled to be there. We have the APRA state championships in July, and they're still looking into possibly having the 4A and 5A championships there as well. So it's going to have a lot of opportunities. I think the council will be very pleased to see the results of that pool and see how that's going to be programmed here in the near future. Rhodes is scheduled to open in September. The Rhodes pool is also a competition pool, but on a smaller scale. It has 8 25-yard lanes. It is going to have 2 features. It has a large splash pad, which we don't have at any of our other pools to that extreme. And then we also have the flow rider, which is the only amenity of it like it's or of that kind in the entire state. And then Skyline is going to be opening in October of 2010. And Skyline, in order to make it more economically feasible, we use the exact same design as Keno. It will also have 8 50-meter lanes and 26 25-yard lanes.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
All right. How did we end up on the orientation of that pool? I know there was concern about the property and how to lay it out for the spectators and so forth. I'm always concerned about that, having been a father, sat through many a swim meet and roasting in the sun. How did we end up on that orientation?
Councilmember Jones, we'll get to that layout, but it is in your packet, and we'll be able to show you how that's orientated with, it's east-west orientation.
Is it in the back of this packet?
Well, it's in the skyline.
Yeah.
Well.
And then you'll see. Yeah, okay, I'll just back up, and then we'll get to that here in 1 second.
I just didn't see the actual orientation, so I'll wait till you get to it.
Okay.
These are just some pictures to give you an idea of what the pools will be looking like. The first one is Keno, and as you can see in the top picture, that is a picture just of the double loop water slide that it will be in the zero depth pool. And then below, you have a good shot of the diving tank, which has four diving platforms. We have 2 3-meter and 2 1-meter, and then you can also see the layout for the 50-meter course. The next slide is just the roads pool showing it to date in the construction process. The top slide, this shows you the shell, and in the far background, you can see the picture of the offices and the bathhouse. And then below is a that shows you the development of the flow rider. And then finally, we have the skyline opening in 2010. That's just a architectural rendering that will show the layout from the front and also from the inside. This is the aerial view that will depict where the skyline pool will be set on the skyline high school campus. You can see it's in the far southwest corner in the parking area, which will actually be a good amenity in the fact that we'll have plenty of parking for meets and stuff there, which we don't quite have at Keno. We have to use a lot of neighborhood parking, and that's still there because the parking is not sufficient. It's close to the Skyline High School. It's also close to Skyline Park, and you can see the Skyline is located on Chrisman and Southern in that area. Councilmember Jones, you had a...
The orientation of the pool on the property.
Oh, the pool actually go from east to west, or west to east, and the shade or the...
Spectator side would be on the south side.
Spectators right. Be yes. On the south.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we doing anything extra in the way of shading from the west for the afternoon sun?
We're going to do similar to what we're doing at Keno, and we've done pretty extensive shade studies there, and we're going to follow that same model. So in terms of the shade that will be on that south side, we're also putting in some shade that will come down the backside, so as that sun comes over the top, it will be shaded throughout the day as well as into the evening.
How about on the west end? Because a lot of those meets late in the day where that sun's down low, it's going to be coming in, not as much the canopy. So how are we shading on that west end?
I think
the west end
is similar to the south in design. It still comes down on the back.
As far as some of the bleachers and that go, what we do is, in fact, with Keno, we've looked at that, and there is still, at certain times of the day, there's no way to prevent it. However, we can put screens. Our bleachers have backing on the back of the bleachers. We can actually put screens on the back of that to make more of a blockage. Yeah.
Could you just make it a top priority? Put a big yes. check box there that don't do any. Recognize that that's a big deal.
It is.
That's a huge deal.
Even some and big trees in the retention basin to the west.
We just, I guess what Vice Mayor is getting to is that when we open it up, we don't want people sitting there going, I can't believe they didn't think of this, because we've right. thought of it. And it's one of those things that sometimes doesn't get taken care of adequately. Just as you're designing that, recognize that that's a huge issue for swim programs is the shading of the spectators. And sometimes it's set up that to make it the most uncomfortable possible. And I think you've got a good start here. So whatever we do, let's just make sure we do that.
Good.
Okay.
Is this going out to bid yet? It's still in design.
It's at 60% design right now. So once they get it a little further along, it will go out to bid.
Right, we've had quite a bit of success, Mr. Brady, with our bids lately of coming in well under budget or anticipated costs. Are we anticipating the same thing with this one? You have a smile on your face.
We certainly hope so. That's why we're anxiously pushing out as many construction projects as we can right now.
Capital projects. Thank you.
And the design on this, once again, this is really just a Keno.
Yes.
So really it's just site-specific design. We're not starting from scratch. We're saving a lot of money on design because we're basically just building the same exact pool but in a different location.
Right. The same thing we did with the fire stations, right? Yeah. Saving a lot of money there, too. Thank you.
As far as operations and maintenance, one of the major components that just came to light here in December of 2008 was the Federal Virginia Graham Baker Pool and Spa Safety Act. That was designed to prevent drain entrapments in pools and spas, and this law became effective, like I said, in December of 2008. We did bring in a private consultant that inspected all of our pools, and right now, the good news is that all of our pools are almost to compliance, and the ones that need any kind of work, it's moderate and can be done in-house. And
before you go, let's go back because you're jumping ahead. I think a lot of people don't understand what this pool safety is and what a drain entrapment is. So why don't you explain very quickly what the problem was and what the sure. fix has been.
What happened with the few years back at another pool, a girl got entrapped by being caught in the suction at the bottom of a pool, and she drowned. And that was back in the East. However, they passed a federal law, and what it entitles now is that they put special covers over the returns that prevents children or any adult from getting caught onto or being caught into the bottom of a pool.
And the way that happens is that basically if the drain is flat, you can actually create a suction much like you do in a straw or whatever where you can't do it. And these new drains have a sort of a convex or concave, right. however it is, to where you can't get a total seal, so there will never be that.
Right.
As it's draining down, it won't ever actually create a seal.
And it also on the returns, they have to be a certain distance away. And this one here, it was right up to the surface. Our pools, they have it like a drain box that's built into the bottom of the pool, and it actually keeps the suction further away from the person. So our pools have actually been, I mean, our pools, like the consultant said, they actually have met all of the requirements. And so it's just a matter of changing a couple of the lids is really all we have to do to meet the needs of the Green Act.
The other thing that that our pools have are a dual drain system. So having those two drains, one starts to become clogged, the other one takes effect, so the suction doesn't
you'd literally have to block both drains to
create that kind of
suction. Okay, so that's a built-in added safety. Okay.
Yeah. And as you see, this impacts every public pool in the country. So you're talking HOAs, you're talking apartment complexes, and right now a lot of the HOAs and that are looking at shutting their pools down because the cost is that you incur with having to change your entire drain system is very costly. So, as I stated, most of our pool drain systems do comply, and the minor changes that we'll have to make, we're waiting Maricopa County to do their final approval. We should be getting that hopefully today, and then we can go ahead and get all of our changes that need to be made. We'll have those done and be ready in time for opening of on Memorial Day weekend. In order to provide healthy pools, which is always our top priority for the maintenance staff, we are going to talk just a little bit about the cryptosporidium, which was a big topic last year. For the first time last year, Mesa actually had a confirmed presence of crypto at one of our pools. And it was during a water analysis in cooperation with the City of Mesa Water Department. And what we have to do on something like that, once you find a confirmed presence, is that you actually shut your pool down and do a super or hyperchlorination. However, Mesa does use the strongest sanitation methods available. Our pool water and talking to our great staff, they are on top of it. They do maintain 4.5 million gallons of water each day, whether we're in operation or not, because the schools use the pools as well. And it's a big job, but they do everything in their power to make sure that our water is the cleanest that it can be. Maricopa County recently recognized the Mesa Aquatic staff in leading the charge to prevent crypto outbreaks. And we're doing that through public education. We're doing it through prevention. We're trying to keep anybody that's sick, including staff. We have lifeguards or any kind of participants. We're trying to make them aware that if they are sick, have diarrhea or anything like that, to stay out of the pools. We're also doing the maintenance, which is to maintain a high oxidation level, utilizing water treatment methods that are proven to be extremely effective. Public education consists of brochures. You have a copy of the brochure that we'll be handing out this year. This is what the staff put together, and this is what they were recognized for by Maricopa County recently. You try and make light of a serious situation. It's hard, but you can see on the front. Also, we're going to be doing safety breaks at all of our pools, and during those safety breaks, we'll do hygiene reminders, which are the six please, things such as wash your hands, make sure that you don't swim if you're sick, things of that nature, and we're going to be doing that at all times. We're also going to increase sanitation of our restrooms using a special cryptosporidium agent that kills it on contact. They'll be doing those. The staff at the pools will be doing restroom cleanings at a regular basis. And we're also going to continue to do our regimented, our really strict regimen of pool water checks, which are done, I believe, hourly during the summer months. And as far as education materials, like I said, this is a copy of the flyer, and we also gave you a copy of the aquatics calendar as well. And our last comments are just on the programming. That's what, yes, sir.
Mayor, may I?
No, go right ahead.
This is really good information. Are we coordinating this with other departments to send it out to apartment complexes and semi-public pools? Because they should have this.
Okay. They may be. I think in this case it was put together. They have, you know, thousands of copies of this, and I'll make sure that Darla and her staff.
Yeah, this would be good information to get to those HOA pools and, okay, and wherever people congregate.
Sure.
Thanks.
As far as the programming goes, you can see through this snapshot that our attendance for 2009, although it's down slightly from last year at this time, it actually is showing an increase, because with having 10 pools versus 7, we're going to be almost up right now about 200 people per pool on the registration. And this consists of lessons and competitive. And as far as our programs go, again, we're going to offer an extensive lessons. We have a competition or a competitive program that includes diving, swimming, synchro swimming, and water polo. And they'll be conducted at every pool. We also have a very good Guard Start program, which is comparable to our TLT program in the summer recreation camps. It offers an opportunity for 13 to 15-year-olds to come in and volunteer to be lifeguards and assist the lifeguards. And last year, we had 179 Guard Start participants, and they provided 10,900 hours of volunteer service during the summer for our program. So we can't get by without them. We also have a Making Waves program, which is a great opportunity for Mesa businesses to provide economic support for underprivileged children. We had last year, we had with the help of Southwest Ambulance, I believe they gave $10,000. We had the HoHo Cams gave a substantial contribution. We were able to provide about $25,000 in scholarships that benefited about 1,070 participants. So that was very good. The public swim is going to be big this year, and we offer that at all of the pools. Public swim is held every afternoon, and then on Saturdays. The big change this year is we'll offer no programming on Sundays this year at any of our pools. And just going on to the final slide here for upcoming events. As you can see, the May 15th, which is tomorrow, we have the Keno Grand Opening and Safety Splash. We're doing this in cooperation with the Mesa Fire Department and for drowning prevention and education. We do have Council Member Richens has volunteered to be in the Aqua Globe race against Steve Patterson from the Mesa Public School Board. And odds are right now they're a little bit higher than what they were in the Kentucky Derby, but they're coming down. So. And so the actual dedication will take place at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening at the pool. There will be some open swim beforehand, and then the dedication starts at 6. And then we'll have the water safety portion and some more open swim immediately following that. On May 23rd is Memorial Day weekend. That's the opening for all of our pools. And like I said, we will be closed on Sundays. Our portion of the pools, we stay open through August 1st. And we'll have extensive programming and special events and everything at all of our pools through that time. And then finally, June 5th, another event is Carson is having the Pechanga, which is the party in the pool. It's a free water safety event. It's also a drowning prevention and fun activities. And I believe at that time we'll be recognizing Southwest Ambulance for their $10,000 contribution to the Making Waves program. And that's just a brief synopsis of the pool aquatic program for the city of Mesa.
Okay, thank you. I know there's some big changes coming up, especially with the swim programs, with some of the, you know, the consolidation. But I'm glad to see the numbers are pretty much in line with what they would be what they were last year. So that's good to hear. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is to review and hear a presentation on the fiscal year 2009-10. preliminary budget. Mr. Ogle.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. In front of you, you've got two documents, a green one, which is the preliminary budget plan, and the blue one, which is your preliminary five-year CIP plan. So we're going to go over some of the highlights of those this morning. These documents reflect the instructions you've given up until 2 weeks ago, so they reflect everything except last week's decisions, and I'll go through some of that. Just kind of give you a synopsis of what makes up the budget. The all funds budget consists of the following categories that we try to maintain for a comparison purpose for year to year. We've got general governmental operations and maintenance. We've got the general fund grants, debt service, capital, and contingency. We've got restricted funds related to transportation. We've got the utilities enterprise funds and bond expenditures. And then we've got all the other restricted and trust funds. On slide number three, this is where we get into a comparison of where we were last year. What we have done going forward, one of the columns I would like to point out is the 2008 revised. We have gone through, and now as we've talked about in the budget process, the quality of life fund is now rolled into the general fund so that it's all the same funding source. We will continue to track and monitor that. But we are now comparing. So for 2008, we have added those quality of life funds to the general fund because that's where it applies to. And giving you a comparison then from the 2008 number to what we've got in the preliminary budget for 2009. So that's the second column. Third column is where we are without stimulus funds, and I'll go through the stimulus fund adds, and it gives you a comparison of by each of those categories on the all funds budget of where we are from last year. So you can see the cuts that we talked about during this year are pretty well reflected in that far right column for general governmental operations of just under, well, $56.4 million in reductions next year.
Mayor?
Councilmember Higgins?
I never understood the statement that we rolled the quality of life funds into the general fund. Can you explain that?
Well, for 10 years, we tracked it totally as a separate fund. It is technically part of the general fund already under the CAFR rules. For purposes of tracking all the capital that we did for the past 10 years, we kept that just totally separate. Well, we're ending at that program now. We've dropped the sales tax rate from 0.5, which had that 0.2 or the 0.25, the quarter cent for capital component. That's sunsetted. So now we're just in the operation mode. We're finishing up the last of the capital items with Skyline Pool and some finish up items. So it just makes sense from a tracking purpose. It's all the same resources. It's all the same kind of programs it's supporting. So we've just rolled it into the general fund. And now we'll maintain and go forward from this. Okay.
Part of that is that what's tracking now is the police officers,
firefighters.
Let's go back and give a little bit of a base history. When the quality of life was first passed, there were specific objectives and things that were included in that, such as paying for certain number of police officers.
120 police officers.
But also there were some capital items that were specifically identified. And there was a definite split between capital items and then basically operating items. And those capital items, that tax had a definite life. And I guess what we're saying is that when that time period ended, the capital program ended also. And we're building things, and I guess this is a question that's going to come up, and there are some people who won't accept or understand that things like the Keno Pool were funded out of the capital portion of that quality of life. And so the idea that somehow councils have made a decision to build instead of spend, no, voters made that decision early on.
That is correct.
And that capital portion expired and went away. And so now we're collecting sales tax.
The maintenance money.
That is simply maintenance money. And therefore, there's really no reason to track it separately because there is no capital component left. Okay,
it doesn't really make any sense to track a certain subset of police officers and firefighters because it's all part of the mix
because it's all operating
right, it's all
money
operating
anyway.
Space. Exactly.
Okay.
So it's now subject to the same elasticity as any of our other revenue sources. So unfortunately,
the same elasticity.
Elasticity, I like or that. Lack of thereof. Yes.
Vice Mayor.
Well, the clarification is it's spelled out. We would hire X amount, 65 firefighters, 120 police officers. We did that during the initial phase of tracking. They've been hired, it's done, and so now that money is just ongoing, period.
Continue. Well, and those firefighters and police officers are still on that.
They're still on, and that money's being used to pay.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that is correct. So from that comparison purpose, you can see we've achieved what we talked about achieving for the next fiscal year, and that was what was important to us. So we've left the stimulus dollars out of this. So irregardless of the discussion of stimulus dollars, our total budget for next year has gone down $153 million. So that's the good news. Now, this is probably a good time to step through always the confusing part of the budget each year. Now, when we come to you on June 1st, we're going to bring a tentative budget. That's going to be approximately $50 million higher than this budget because of we've got some final numbers of final directions we've got, and then we've got all the capital projects which are and contracts that were not completed in this fiscal year, which we will rebudget in the next year. The resources are already set aside next year. All we do is put a stop on it. It's a timing issue from this year to next year. So we will step up the budget related to those items. It's not an increase in the overall plan of what the city was doing. It's simply a timing issue. So we will see an increase to the tentative. Then when we come to the final, once we work through all those rebudget items and really clarify, you may see a reduction in that budget. So you're going to see a change from this to the tentative that goes up, and then probably a slight decrease to the final budget.
Once again, the tentative budget we are asked to approve in the 1st of June is the maximum budget, and that sets the limit, the cap, by state law is what we can spend.
Right.
So like we discussed last week, we're going to err on the side of being conservative on that side, on the upside, because we don't want to have the potential of receiving stimulus funds and not be able to spend them because we didn't include them in our cap.
And that's one of the major, you know, besides the rebudgets, we've got the stimulus monies that we may get further news on. And last week's action when we had those new revenue bonds, well, that requires us to increase some of our debt service because we're going to have a new revenue source on that 35% reimbursement. So you've got some of those cleanup items that you accommodate in that total number. Okay. Now, probably step into what we're getting in stimulus funds that we've identified currently. Totally, we're just about $46.3 million. In the general fund, we've identified just under $21 million. Transportation funds, just under 11. Utilities enterprise, which are mainly the WIFA grants and loans that we talked about, just under 3. And then the all other restricted funds, about 11.7 million.
And let's break, the 11 million would include?
Well, a lot of that is light rail. Light rail in the park and ride lots at Country Club and wherever they decide to align those. Okay. Now we get into, we refer to it in the city as the circle of life. This is what we call our discretionary money on the general fund side. And this is a graph that you'll see quite often. So what we did was give you this graph, including the quality of life funds. And the old number was $340.9 million. So with the addition of those quality of life funds, for comparison purposes, we're at 372.3. And we did this just for comparison purposes so that you can see on the next slide, which is slide 6, where we will be preliminarily for 9-10. That reflects that $56.4 million reduction in those directed cuts. Probably the last point we'd go to is we always get asked about full-time equivalents. Just for your information, you can see on that graph on page number 7, you can see that our full-time equivalents per 1,000 residents has declined since 2001 to 9-10, roughly about a 1.2 FTE per 1,000 reduction over that time. And just from a raw number standpoint, there's 16 less FTE in the city for next year than there was in 2001. Just for the documents, just go through those just briefly. This, the green book and the blue book are going to be available on the web probably as of 8 o'clock this morning. We could get them posted. So for anybody that wants to access them, they're available in detail. All the information that you see is here on the web. Just if you have any questions on the documents themselves, it really just goes through an overview of what the budget is. It has a process description on how we arrive at the budget. It gives you a breakdown over our revenues and expenditures and gives you the financial policies of the City of the Mesa. The CIP book is broken into three main categories. Now, the first year of the CIP is included in the capital plan for the budget. So 910 is in the green book, but it goes out another 4 years to give you an idea of where we're having to head with the capital improvement program. It is broken down into a financial overview, gives you details on the individual projects by program, and then it gives you a summary of the programs by capital dollars and then by any O&M operations and maintenance that are associated with any of those projects. Budget timeline, just go over that. We have mentioned this each time we've come. On the 18th, you're going to adopt the utility rate notice of intention. June 1st, we've talked about, is the tentative budget and introduction of the utility rate ordinances. We're going to adopt those. Then on the 22nd of June, you'll have public hearings and adopt the 2009-10 budget, 5-year CIP and the utility rates, and the secondary property tax. Any questions?
Question. Just a couple comments. So based on this this tentative, our general fund budget is down about 15%.
That's 15.1%.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that point one. Yep.
That was good math, Mayor.
Gee, thanks.
He can't do present value analysis, but he can.
Oh, that's right. I have no idea what the present value of that is. Could you give me a discount factor, please?
Point one.
There you go. That was a rounding difference. Okay. I'm speechless. Thank you, Mr. Odom. Next item is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers, second by the Vice Mayor. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is to hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Nothing? Boy. Nice week. Mr. Brady.
No, that's fine. When you're ready.
Next item.
Yeah.
We had City Hall at the Mall.
Yeah. And we thank everybody for coming out. It was.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Kavanaugh's not here. That's why we didn't.
Yeah, I was thinking, what? Well, waiting for someone else to talk about it.
Go ahead.
No, it was a great turnout. Appreciate members of council being there to support it, and really appreciate the staff spending their time and coming to the mall. Appreciate Fiesta Mall, Mike Jorgensen, the mall manager there, for allowing us to set up there. I think it's been a great success. We have a lot of citizens coming around, visiting with the different departments. So we've really found that it's important for us to go to where our residents are and be able to present the information. So I think it worked out very well. And we'll be doing our next City Hall at the Mall. We'll be at the Superstition Springs Mall. And I think we're doing it on Halloween Day, correct? It's October 31st.
Free candy.
So we'll, yeah, it could be quite fun. So we look forward to that. So thank you very much.
Okay. Councilmember Fenter, you want to talk about the memorial service?
Had the opportunity to have the police memorial service at our main police station. I'm losing track of days. It was yesterday, right? Or day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday.
Yes. Wonderful. True. Wonderful experience. Great turnout. By citizens and the police department and other city employees, and recognizing the Pollard family that came and had not too many years ago had lost their dad and husband in the line of duty death. And so wonderful annual event and greatly supported. We appreciate everybody that was there to support the police officers.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Vice Mayor reminds me, yesterday morning we had the Mesa Public Safety Foundation breakfast that is used to recognize the police officers and firefighters in the community for heroic actions. Excellent. Also citizens, thank you. Wonderfully attended event. We have some outstanding public safety personnel that risk their lives every, it's just some heroic stories of gun battles and lives saved in this community that sometimes gets lost in the day-to-day things that we go through. So, again, we appreciate the foundation and supporting those police officers, firefighters, the Silent Witness Program. Just a great support to the community. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember. Anything else? Now, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just remind the council, we will have a study session and council meeting on May 18th. And preceding that, there is a public safety committee meeting that begins at 3:30. And we'll also be, I think, beginning our study session with an executive session. We're planning on that same day on May 18th. So we'll just, well, may have a little bit earlier start, possibly 5 o'clock or so. So if you'll look at your packets to recognize that. And just a reminder that on Thursday, May 28th, District 1 will be having Building Stronger Neighborhoods meeting kickoff at 6:30 p.m., which will be at Edison Elementary School. Thank you.
Edison, mile stomping grounds, great. Okay, thank you. Next item is a pre-scheduled public opinion appearance, Mr. Steve Allen. Mr. Allen, come on up, have a seat. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. I actually wanted to address the mayor and council next Tuesday before you voted on the light rail. In calling the mayor's office and the city clerk's office, I was told that this was the only opportunity to have it pre-scheduled. I'd be willing to forego my time if I could be guaranteed an appearance on Tuesday, or I'm sorry, Monday evening.
I was going to say, because if you show up Tuesday, you're going to be speaking to an empty cut. Right. So if you'd like to come in Monday, it's going to be on the agenda. You can certainly have an opportunity to speak at that time. Just fill out a blue card and you'll be on the agenda. I'm sorry, what? But you know, as long as you're here, if you want to speak today,
okay,
that's fine.
Yeah, the way it was explained to me is that up to three people might get a chance, and there was no guarantee.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. Since it's on the agenda, and since you're pre-scheduled today, we can ask you questions, and we can speak back and forth. So
okay.
Go right ahead.
Timing-wise, I'd prefer to address the council then, so I appreciate that.
Okay, that's fine. So Monday night.
5:30, right?
5:30 would be great. Meeting starts at 5:45. You'll be on time. So thank you. Okay. Ms. Crocker, do we have any other requests to speak?
No, Mayor, we have not.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to enter an executive session.
So moved.
Motion by Councilmember Summers, second by the Vice Mayor. All in favor?
Aye.
We're now moving into executive session. Thank you very much.